Please take your Bibles and let's stand as we turn in the Gospel according to Matthew to chapter 5. We are continuing our study of the Beatitudes, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. We are in chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 7 today. This is the fifth Beatitude. Hear now God's holy word, Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Amen. This is God's holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Mercy is a quality of your Christian life and my Christian life. It is something that we are called upon to exhibit. It is a reflection of the mercy of God and the mercy that God has shown to us. But as I said, it's a quality of Christian life. It's not something that you find in the world. The type of mercy that you find in the world is not what the Bible speaks about. You see, the world does not understand what mercy actually is. The Romans in Jesus' day talked about four cardinal virtues. They spoke of wisdom, of justice, of temperance, and of courage. Notice mercy's not in that mix anywhere. Now, there may be some semblance of this mercy in the pagan world, but it is of a different sort. And in fact, the Bible says some pretty negative things about the world's understanding of mercy. In Proverbs 12, verse 10, it says, "Whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast." It's talking about whatever animal that you've got. "But the mercy of the wicked is cruel." It's cruel. So the description that God's word gives of what the world thinks is merciful is in reality cruelty. Not at all what Scripture says. Even the Pharisees, against whom much of the Sermon on the Mount was addressed, even the Pharisees did not really understand what mercy was either. You see, the Pharisees and their understanding of things would have said, "Happy or blessed are those who are righteous, for God will be merciful to them." Their focus was always on what men can do. It was always upon the way in which we are obedient and we do good works, and as a result of all of that, then God will be merciful. Then God will bless us. But Jesus is not saying that. What Jesus is saying here is the same thing that he mentions in the Lord's Prayer when he talks to us and tells us when we pray to ask God to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. In other words, he is saying to us that the person who fails to show mercy in this life cannot count on God's mercy being shown to him at the final judgment. Occasionally, this verse is misunderstood. Sometimes this verse has been wrongly understood to mean that the believer is to be merciful towards others so that they will treat him in the same way. But that's not what it means, and no Jew in Jesus' day would ever have thought that that was what this verse means. So what is mercy? What is Jesus talking about when he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy"? Mercy is love for those who are in misery. Mercy is a forgiving spirit toward the sinner. Mercy embraces both these kind feelings and these kind actions. It comes from your personal experience of having received the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. That's why the world doesn't understand it. That's why the world can't have the type of mercy spoken of here. The world has not received the mercy of God, and therefore the world doesn't know what mercy really is. But you, Christian, you have received the mercy of God, and because you have, Your mercy is a reflection of the mercy that you have received through God, through Jesus Christ, from God. So it's a Christian virtue. It's not a worldly thing. B.M. Palmer, who was a Presbyterian minister back in the middle 1800s, said, "The exhibition of mercy will then always be a characteristic of the renewed soul." In other words, his focus and his comment about this was, because you have been renewed, because you have been redeemed, because you have a new heart, you are a new creature in Christ, you will exhibit mercy. It goes along with it. So it's a characteristic. It's a characteristic of your Christian faith. It's a characteristic that comes from the fact that you are a new creature in Jesus, that you have been remade in the image of God, that you are a partaker through the Lord Jesus Christ of the divine nature. God is like this, therefore in Christ you are like this. That's what's being said. And so what that means is, practically, you can't help but sympathize with those who are wretched in their sin, with the whole human race to which you belong. You can't help but sympathize with those who are in their wretchedness simply because they're creatures made by God. You come to understand that the source of all the bitterness, the source of all the sorrow of mankind comes from sin. Comes from sin. Now, you're not going to hear that on TV by any newscaster. You're not going to hear that in most textbooks that you will read. You'll hear all sorts of wrong answers. You'll hear that the source of all the problems of humanity is class struggle, if you're a Marxist. And that some people have more than others, and therefore the people who have more than others ought to be put down so that you can take their stuff. Or you will hear that the problem is that this one race has oppressed this other race, and therefore something needs to be done to straighten that out. Or this one particular group is being put down by this other particular group, and therefore there has to be some kind of equality. But you will not hear sin. You will hear inequality. You'll hear economic problems. You'll hear racial struggle. You'll hear all sorts of things that are all ideas that grow out of and problems that come from sin, but the root cause is sin. The root cause is sin. And that's what you understand as a Christian. The problems that men and women face come from sin before a holy God. And you understand that. And because you've been given a new heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're sensitive to those who suffer, and you desire to relieve their suffering when and where you can. When we think about God's mercy, we see God's mercy flowing in two ways, two directions. God's mercy relieves those who are in woe, and God's mercy pardons the sins of men. Now, you can't pardon anybody's sin, but your mercy flows in two ways as well. It goes toward showing charity and help toward those who are in need, and it goes toward forgiving the sins of those who have sinned against you. You can't forgive their sins eternally. Christ alone can do that, but you can forgive the sins that they have committed against you. You're to seek, as far as it is in your power to do so, to cover over every sin that is committed against you with the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to hold a grudge against someone. You're not going to try to make them pay for what they've done to you. Instead, you're going to pray. You're going to pray to God that God will forgive that person in the same way that He has forgiven you through Christ. And so your motivation for showing mercy is the fact that you have received mercy from God in Jesus. And that binds on you an obligation to exercise mercy toward others as well. Christians, you're exhorted to show mercy out of gratitude for the mercy received in Christ. Think about what a mockery it would be for you to plead for God to be merciful to you while at the same time you refuse to show mercy to someone else. In Ephesians, Paul says much the same thing that Jesus is saying here in the Beatitude, in the Sermon on the Mount. Paul says in Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." In the same way that God in Christ forgave you, you are to be forgiving toward others. He also said, similarly to the Colossian church, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." So the Apostle Paul is saying the same thing that Jesus says here, that you and I are to be a forgiving people because we have received forgiveness. Because God has forgiven us in Christ, we are to forgive others who have sinned against us. And in the same way that God has forgiven us, we are to forgive them. There is a parable that we looked at when we studied the parables. It's called the parable of the unmerciful servant, and it shows the exact opposite. And what this parable teaches is that your treatment of others is a sign of God's treatment of you. In other words, that the spirit of forgiveness in you is evidence of, or is a sign of, God's forgiveness of you. Matthew 18 says this, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees and imploring him, said, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. He went and put him into prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailer until he should pay all his debt. So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Now, that parable should not be read to say that your salvation is dependent upon your work, your effort at forgiving others. But that parable does mean the same thing that this beatitude is saying and that elsewhere we read in Scripture. And that is that your mercy is a reflection of whether or not you have received mercy. And if you are not a merciful person, then you have not received the mercy of God. Who are you supposed to be merciful to? Is there a list of folks that you can decide not to be merciful to? Well, Scripture doesn't give you that option. Scripture tells you that you and I are to be merciful to Christians and non-Christians alike. Galatians 6:10, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." So the household of faith, that's other Christians, but everyone's included in that. And To make it even harder, in the Sermon on the Mount, in this same chapter, Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 44. You're to be merciful even to your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. See, there's not a sliding scale with God. This is not one of those things where somehow or other God's going to grade on a curve, and if you just make just a little bit over 50%, that's fine, everything's okay. No, God's scale is fixed, and it's perfection. And you and I are required to be perfect. And part of that perfection that we are to be in the Lord Jesus Christ is those who love even our enemies. That's the hard thing. Didn't say it was easy, but that is what Jesus says we're to do. So the recipients of mercy are to be other fellow Christians, those who are not Christians, and even those who are your enemies. The wonderful thing is mercy always wins. Mercy always wins. The merciful alone have any right whatsoever in Scripture to expect mercy to be shown to them. In 2 Samuel 22, the Word of God says this: with the merciful you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man you show yourself blameless. With the purified you deal purely. And with the crooked you make yourself seem tortuous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty. Bring them down. Those who reject the mercy of God find themselves being punished by God. In Leviticus 26, it says, "And if by this discipline you are not turned to me, but walk contrary to me, then also I will walk contrary to you, and I myself will strike you sevenfold for your sin." We think about that thing. Let's remember that the Bible teaches over and over again that mercy is what is always victorious over judgment. James 2:13, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." And so what Scripture is teaching here is God gives you mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. You exercise mercy toward others because you are a new creature in Christ, and this is part of your new nature, to just be merciful as God is merciful. And the reward, the blessing of God, the promise of God, is that He showers you with more mercy. Mercy and more mercy. A forgiving spirit is a seal in your heart, in your life, that attests of your own pardon from God, that you have received pardon from God. You've been forgiven by God, and therefore you are a forgiving person. That spirit of mercy doesn't come from within you. It doesn't come from natural abilities. The world doesn't have it. You and I don't have it by nature. It is spirit wrought. It is a divine grace. It flows freely from the freeness of God's forgiving love in Jesus Christ. And so, throughout your life, you find these manifestations of God's mercy being renewed to you all the time. You and I sin daily. We've sinned already today. You and I sin daily. And daily, you and I need and do receive the forgiveness and the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. And therefore, there is this daily sealing of the mercy of God to your heart and to your conscience. And what Jesus is saying, I think, is that this mercy that God shows you privately, this mercy that goes on in your life individually, this mercy will one day be publicly proclaimed on that last day. That the mercy that you receive day by day in this life, Christian, will on that last day, on the day of judgment, be declared to the whole assembled universe, that all will see how merciful God has been to you in Jesus. So there's an order here we need to keep in mind. You receive mercy from God in and through Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. You receive God's mercy. And as a result, you're changed. As a result, you are a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. As a result, you begin to show mercy to others out of gratitude for the mercy that you have received in Jesus. And then, thirdly, God again showers you with mercy and more mercy throughout this life. And on the final day, He does this in keeping with your expressions of mercy and forgiveness toward others. Not because you have, but in keeping with that. And so, your mercy comes to you in Jesus. The mercy that you show reflects that you have received mercy, and God pours more mercy upon you in His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for mercy and for grace given to us in Jesus. Thank You for the love that You shower upon us in Christ. Thank You, Heavenly Father, that You indeed do exercise mercy toward us day by day. We thank You that indeed we receive Your faithful mercies afresh and anew every morning. Father, we pray that You would bless us to be that merciful people that You called us to be, that our showing of mercy would reflect the fact that You have shown mercy to us first in Jesus. May we indeed act this way because we are new people in Jesus Christ. Please forgive our sins. We ask in His holy name. Amen.